Welcome to a case closed review from ReverseThieves.com. In these short podcasts, we discuss our final thoughts on anime that finished up in the most recent season.
This time, we're wrapping up Legend of the Galactic Heroes, Dinoi Tizu, from Production IG, and it's streaming on Crunchyroll. This is us, so we're going to butcher everybody's name. I butchered the name of this show, besides the Legend of the Galactic Heroes part. I think I got that part right, but I could have been wrong.
Kate, also in our defense, there are a bunch of characters whose names have been changed, like Castle New.
Well, I don't know if we should say changed as opposed to translated differently.
Yeah, so
from the fan subs, which is not a fair. And we don't want to be those people, Al.
But in the fan subs' defense, they were going after the romanizations from the little title cards of the characters. And so a lot of those English, German to Japanese to English romanizations have changed, is what I should say.
Yes. But luckily, for the most part, we're just using, like, first names, so, you know, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. I think this could be, I really don't know the answer to this, and I think it's the big question on my mind is, you know, for a lot of people, is this their first Legend of the Galactic Heroes? I think we all were kind of discussing, when we were watching the last few episodes, that this is the first Legend of the Galactic Heroes that's very accessible. I mean, there have been manga.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we can't say that definitively, but as an anime, you know, the old anime, even if you were a Japanese fan, was not easily accessible. Like, you had to dedicate a lot of money to watching it. And then for American fans, obviously, it's just a very long series and not widely available. And at this point, it's old, obviously. So, you know, is this really the first time a lot of people are not just hearing the name Legend of Galactic Heroes, but actually seeing it?
Before I answer that question, I also do feel that there are certain very long series that almost have a support network, like a Naruto or a One Piece, are very intimidating to a lot of people, but they're popular enough that you can kind of almost have a network of people. But I feel like, unless you're very dedicated or in certain circles, I do feel like, see a lot of people go, man, I always hear about Legend of Galactic Heroes, but I never have the momentum to start it. I think even we took the longest time, like I suggested for several years, that we watch Legend of Galactic Heroes. And then it was only that we got enough people together to actually watch it, then we actually finished it. So I feel like that. But when a show is new and on TV, it kind of has its own special momentum that you can only get in that airing. This kind of has the potential, not necessarily the ability, but it had the potential to have that momentum. And I think a lot of the case closed in will kind of be deciding, did they capitalize on this new momentum?
And I kind of wonder, for people, if they're seeing this, you know, for the first time, will it sort of spur them to go and see the previous version? Because now, of course, that's streaming on High Dive, so it is available, more available than it was in the past. So, the actual story here, Al, you do it. I was like, I'm going to try to summarize this. You do it.
So, it is far in the future, and the galaxy is basically divided into two sets. There is the larger, older Galactic Empire, led by the Kaiser, and on the smaller side is the Free Planets Alliance, which broke off and has that kind of China, Taiwan. They consider themselves an independent country. The Empire considers them rebels. And because of the oddity of how the galaxy works, there are only a limited space lanes for them to come in contact, so they constantly fight over these two space lanes, but neither side in the longest time has made any major gains due to gross incompetence and corruption on both sides. into this kind of stagnant war where both sides are slowly killing each other comes two luminaries. On the Empire side is Reinhardt, who is a young man who wishes to depose the Kaiser and reform the Empire. And on the other side is Yang, who just wants to pass his time in the military, put in his number of necessary years, and study history the millisecond he can get out. And if he can save as many people, or at least kill as few as possible, he will be extremely happy. And both of these men kind of go against the major flaws of the country they're in, but are also opposed to each other in many ways. And this is the story of how both their respective nations and respective ideologies clash.
Okay, we just have to pause for a minute because, Al, that was really good. And, like, I just want to, like, give you a hand. That was, like, a very good, succinct, excellent job. I could not have done that. So,
yes. One other thing, because it's the new version, the original one, like a dramatic reenactment, like a BBC historical special of the events that unfold. This one, on the other hand, is the cast of Kuroko's Basketball presents to you Legend of the Galactic Heroes.
Yeah, it's very interesting. A lot of the choices that they've made are definitely, like, just worth talking about. So we have these new character designs that are very, like, shiny. I think not only do they look very current, some people also look, I think, strange. Not quite themselves. That doesn't necessarily fit their personalities, it seems like. But it does seem like everybody has become softer looking. Like, there's, like, a youngness to it. And not that, obviously, Reinhardt as a character is supposed to be very, very young, and that's, like, the whole thing is that he's this bold upstart and he doesn't have any respect for the elders, etc. So he's supposed to look young. But, you know, Yang, not that Yang looks as young as Reinhardt, but Yang also is, I mean, he's not old. He's, like, in his 30s.
He's not, like,
I don't mean to imply that, like,
in the original, old man Yang with his beard down to his ankles, you know. 90-year-old
Yang. Saruman Yang. No, okay. So, I just, but it does have, like, a youthful quality to it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I think the ones that, I almost feel like that didn't throw us off as more of, like, the weird thing was, like, Mittenmeier has this weird chisel jaw thing going on more than his, like, pretty boyness in the original. Like, he was one of the few super pretty boys other than Reinhardt in the original. Whereas they made him much more lantern jawed in this one. And then whatever they did with Rutenthal and his weird...
Not a fan of that hair, I have to say, yeah.
Whereas the Rosenritter guy,
Shemkov,
he was super lantern jawed, like, tough guy in the original, whereas they made him super pretty boy in this one.
And I feel in the original, you know, he had sort of the 5 o'clock shadow all the time kind of thing going on. And then just right at the end of the show, we get, like, young characters like Poplin and Dusty. Dusty looks super different. If they had not said prior to him showing up that that's who it was, I would never have guessed. But, you know, I mean, these are based on novels, so... And only a few characters are very described in the novels. And one of them being Reinhardt is, like, extremely described.
Or they'll usually only have one or two key features mentioned. Like, a lot of the, even the important generals just have, like, Rutenthal's mismatched eyes and being attractive, I think, is the only thing they really describe about him. And that, like, Minmar's just described as blonde and dashing, which I think can be interpreted a lot of different ways. You know, Oberstein's just supposed to be off-putting.
Oh, man! I don't even know which design of him is more disturbing, because in this design, I just keep expecting him to be the devil. I'm like, wait. I mean, Oberstein, in my opinion, does have some devilish qualities. I have some problems with him, but his design in here, I feel like is more overtly evil looking. Also, now I'm thinking about it, what bothers me about Runthal's hair is it's kind of like original Oberstein's hair.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more pretty here, but it's kind of like that. And no, you should not be reminding, no, not allowed. But also, I felt that the character designs felt like they changed slightly over the course of the season. That they maybe toned it down a little bit. And maybe that's just, that could just be simply, like, we couldn't put in as much detail because we spent all the money on the CG ships. Because, oh my god. Especially near the end, because there's a huge, huge battle at the end of the season that has a lot of CG ships.
We were having this conversation near the end, and somebody felt like they were trying to court the Legend of Galactic Heroes. Already has a decent sized female fan following. I mean, you don't get Terazuka stage plays of you made if you don't have a female fan following. But I feel like somebody theorized that the new character designs were supposed to attract that, whereas I feel like the ship designs were like, hey, male fans of Legend of Galactic Hero, look at these ships! And of course, you know, there are going to be some guys who go in for the newer, pretty character designs and some women who come in for the ships. But I feel like in the very kind of, if you go by the standard stereotypes, the new character designs seem to be designed to bring in the old and new female fans, and the ship design seemed to be designed to bring in the old and the new male fans.
One thing that I do really like about this version, and actually, I mean, I in general liked this retelling, I guess you could call it, but I think something that I appreciated is that in this is almost like the Legends of Galactic Heroes Kai version or whatever, is that they're not just taking the original OVA and, you know, reanimating it, boom, done, scene for scene or something. They've decided to go back to the original source material, the books, and use that as the base of the story. So it doesn't massively alter the general concept of what's going to happen, but it does sort of change the timeline a little bit, when characters come in and out, when they meet. And also, like, the big thing, I know we talked a lot about this when we read the first book, is that I felt that the book, and definitely the first book, you know, there's a bigger focus on Yang, and because of that, I think there's a lot less shine on Reinhardt, like, and the idea of the Empire, because I think that the original OVA, as much as I love it, it does highlight both in a way that maybe romanticizes the Empire more, whereas I think that in the book it's a lot more like Yang is the dude and he's awesome, and also, I mean, Reinhardt's very interesting, but Yang is the hero and Yang is working in a terrible system and you can see the cracks in that system, but ultimately that's still, I just feel like it portrays Yang more as the hero, whereas I think that, especially near the beginning of the original OVA, it seems like Reinhardt is the main character of the story.
I mean, in all iterations, I feel like one of the common pitfalls that people fall into is one of the common pitfalls people fall into is missing, in my opinion, the point of the story, that while Yang is fighting for a corrupt and broken democracy, he is the hero because he is fighting for the better overall future, whereas Reinhardt is more effective but is fighting for a system that will eventually damn the universe the minute someone who isn't him in charge of it. And both the book and the original OVA follow this theme, but like you said, the original anime really so wants you to root for Reinhardt before you kind of realize what his major flaws are, that most people either don't pick up or don't care about those flaws and think that the series is pushing this idea that absolute monarchies are awesome and democracy is
meritocracies, yeah. I guess, technically.
And yeah, but I whenever you focus more on Yang, that message comes off a little stronger, even though, once again, you're supposed to be sympathetic towards the Empire and see, like, why, even if what they're doing is overall toxic, why they're heroes in their own mind and why, in many ways, they're doing, you know, good things, even if they have longer-term bad effects.
And I think that, you know, in this version of the story, because it's following a little more closely to the book, I was actually shocked by how much of the TV series is actually all Yang and from Yang's point of view. Even though I could tell from sort of the beginning that they were following more closely to the book, I definitely thought there was going to be more interludes of Reinhardt, which is how the original does it. So there's like a huge portion, kind of like the last half of the series, that's like all Yang, you know, what's happening, sort of like Yang's past, like what's going on in the, you know, his few battles that make him even more of a hero. Then, like, we have a little teensy bit of like Reinhardt being like, oh, we're gonna have to fight that Yang again. Like, here's my short plan, you know? So.
Well, I mean, technically, Reinhardt's big time to shine is what would be the next arc, which is him consolidating after, you know, certain people kick the bucket, him consolidating power, him setting up the civil war in the Free Planets Alliance. I mean, Yang does not disappear from the story at all, but I feel like that's really where you get to see both the great good and the beginning overall darkness of Reinhardt.
Yeah, I just found it so interesting that that's the way sort of it plays out in this season of the show, and also that really we only see Reinhardt come back at the end of this TV series to make a couple of statements and show his dark side. At the beginning of the series, we do get some of his past, so we have a sense of what his viewpoint is, but I think we get to see a little bit of his ruthlessness, like where he could go before we're extremely sympathetic to him as a character. And where we see how Kirkis is, he's an enabler, but he's also a dam, I guess, for, you know, like things being worse.
He's kind of like a steam valve. He doesn't stop the process, but he makes sure that Reinhardt doesn't bubble over ever. Or at least, like, a reminder of, like, hey, you know, I let you get away with a lot of things, but I'm Jiminy Cricketing you now. Like, essentially, I'm not going to stop you, but I'm going to put up some big warning signs, so you better please start listening to me.
Well, I thought, I actually, like, besides the ending of this, so that's, I think, something, without obviously giving away what's happening at the end of this fully, is that I think this is a big misstep, and I was really disappointed with them for this, because we're in the middle of a story. I don't feel as though, I know that there are going to be 3 movies. Don't tweet me. I know that, but I just don't. I'm really tired. Maybe it's because this season has had a theme of this that I am not pleased with. But, like, all of these shows that are just like, we'll just end wherever. I mean, like, who cares? It doesn't matter. Yes, it matters. Because this is my last memory. It matters. Don't just end in the middle of a story. That's annoying. Like, you need to get to a point that is, you know, it doesn't have to be a full conclusion, but just a stopping point. I find that super frustrating. I know we've already talked about it in multiple reviews for this season.
Yeah, and in fact, even with Hina Matsuri, which I really liked, me and my sister were having a debate over where they ended and how good it was. I think that was a little more up to interpretation, but I do feel like, yeah, there are some interesting to really perplexing points of ending. And like I've said before, I think we're usually pretty lenient compared to the rest of the internet when we are judging when a series stops. So if we're having a problem with it, I think that shows that, man, this season is some poor picks.
Yeah, and I think we were both talking, I don't see, you know, 3 movies is certainly, what are we going to wrap up in 3 movies? Like, I guess the second book, you know, the second half of what's going on, like, is that...
I mean, certain major characters who die still haven't died yet. We don't finish that major invasion storyline, which at least if they had finished that up, would have been something.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I wanted to something.
It wouldn't have been the greatest ending, but at least it wouldn't have felt like you were... Oh, did you guys get canceled and there were supposed to be like 2 or 3 more episodes?
Yeah, and like the kind of the political machinations that are going on behind the scenes with the Free Planets Alliance are about to come to a head, but they haven't. Like, they haven't fully revealed themselves, even though we start to see, like I said before, we start to see all the cracks and the conspiracy going on, but we don't get like a full picture of that. Yeah, I don't understand.
It ended with, hey, you see that in the distance over there? That's the climax. Yes, that will be the climax of this story arc. The end.
So, you know, I don't know if the plan is, well, after we do the 3 movies and wrap this part of it up, if those were popular, then we'll do, you know, like more of the story or whatever.
The movies, I don't think could even get to the end of the second arc. They could just get to the end of the second book.
That's what I would think, but I don't know. I'm just questioning a lot of decisions. When in reality, like, what they did show, I thought was very good. Overall, I really liked what I saw.
So I have a question. Because when we had Jared and Ink on, when you were on vacation, we were discussing the series, and they asked me what I thought of the new series. And it was only about halfway through. And I said, I like how they built up Yang. They definitely do a lot with Yang. And they do a lot with Reinhardt, even if he's lesser than Yang in these parts. And the thing that I feel has gotten the most cuts is the side characters. Like, when Kirky Ice handles that rebellion in the original series, that's like an episode or two, whereas it was like half an episode in this one. So there's a lot of cuts for time, which I feel like, or that story where the one young soldier gets, when they're, you know, when the Free Planets Alliance is invading the Empire, and that one young soldier is on like one of the worlds they're occupying, he gets a whole episode, whereas you only see like little snippets of his story in this new one. And so none of those things by individually is bad, but do you feel that, and I'm not sure about this, do you feel that the side characters who are very important have gotten enough screen time? Like, if you didn't know Mittenmeier and Rutenthal, would you, or do you think there's still enough time to fix any of that?
I mean, I think, you know, like I said, one of the things is that characters come into the story and get their time and a little, like, much differently in the books. And, you know, I think they made a lot of really good decisions with the original OVA. And so I think it is hard for me to sort of accept that those characters are not in it as much. I don't think that is necessarily bad. Like, it's just that we have now become so attached to those characters. Mm-hmm. I really missed Dusty being a part of Yang's story from the beginning. Like, he just adds such such flavor text. And I think a lot of maybe what we're missing is like a lot of flavor text. Like, it just, you know, just kind of expands the reach of the story. And yeah, I mean, Mittenmeier and Rutenthal are pretty much my favorite characters from the original. So I think we can trust that I would, like, of course I would miss them. I mean, I don't think you know zilch about them in this.
I mean,
in this TV series.
We don't even know how much of a fuck up Bittenfield is yet. Whereas I feel like at this point, it's at least somewhat established that he is the screw up of the Empire.
Yeah, you know, actually, one character that I thought, like, I just, but, I do think that you don't have to have full episodes to get characters' personalities across. That if you're good at what you're doing, if you're good at the storytelling, you can still do it in smaller ways. And I don't know if they have done that. I think Kirky's, I think we get it. Like, even though Wii doesn't have these dedicated things. Look, you go back to that OVA where he's eating German dinner. You love it. It's fine. You know him. It's cool. Other characters, like I said, Rutenthal and Mittermeier, you just don't know them at this point.
I think they did a good job with conveying enough about Oberstein.
Yeah, I was going to say Oberstein, Julian, I think we know, Jessica. I think we've seen enough of Falk to know who he is.
A real fuck up.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. So I do think that you don't have to have huge dedicated screen time. Not that I would... It's hard to not want it when we did have it. But if that kind of results in like a more focused story on Yang, I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing. Like, it makes them different from each other, and I actually think different is in this case is good. I just because Yang's character is so strong that I think that that's different is not necessarily wrong.
And I feel like they set up Julian well, especially with that scene with the, like, you don't have to change that from the same star eye.
Yeah. But then certain characters, maybe it's just because their personalities are so much more outward that they click immediately, but, like, Poplin only shows up in, like, the last episode, and you're like, oh, I get this. I know this guy. Cool. Like, you just get him right away. So I feel like if you just have more of those just, like, key moments, it would probably just enhance the world. I do feel like even though we're talking about ridiculous numbers of people, like 30 million soldiers versus 50 million soldiers or whatever, I do feel maybe because it's so focused on like one character that you don't have maybe as much sense of just how big everything is. Because like 30 million, I mean, that just doesn't even register
in
your brain.
That is a point in the series where Yang mentions that so many of the times this war keeps going on because people can't comprehend the loss, and it's easy, like when they do the invasion and they're just so hampered because so much of the manpower of the Free Planets Alliance is down because so many people have died in this century-long war that like it's beginning to affect just the galactic economy. And he's like, but every time there's like an easy win, it helps people forget about the big losses. And so many of the big losses are just incomprehensible numbers that it's easy to blame it on other things and for easy for politicians to sweep things under the rug.
I mean,
so I feel like in ways that's deliberate.
And I have to say, as sort of my personal final thought about the series is that this was really hard to watch right now, I felt, in the current political climate and just the ways that people in this series use their power, use their position in the government and manipulate the citizenry and the patriotism that turns to violence. Just, there is a lot. I mean, this was always present. You know, Legend of Galactic Heroes asking some really good questions about democracy, government, military. But I just felt like this was really a tough watch at the moment for me. So, I feel like that makes me appreciate it even more because these are the types of questions that we need to be asking, but it was also really tough.
I guess my one final thought is, how effective did you feel this was for a new fan? And in a way, we're kind of prejudiced and can fill in gaps. But with that prejudice on the table for the listeners, we're going to try to at least separate ourselves from the knowledge as much. Do you feel it was effective for new fans? I feel like a lot of the key points get across. And like you said, the relevance to this time period, still Yang struggles, the moral complexity of the Empire still come through. I do feel it misses there is a trade-off. What it lacks in depth and subtlety, it gains for in brevity and punch. So I feel like both series have their place. And but just being so much quicker, it is a little bit of an easier sell. I almost feel like it's the Gundam movies. And then you're like, all right, watch this Legend of Galactic Heroes TV series. And if you like it, but wish there was more, then there's the original series that is slower, but has a lot more time to breathe and live in its story.
I agree with you, Al. And I think that, in a way, I cannot really fully step back because I've watched the original. I've read not all of the books, but I've read a number of the books. And so I think my experience of this and what I'm getting out of this is maybe a little different than what I got out of an experience from when I watched the first one. And I do think that I would postulate? Is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
I would postulate that more focus on characters probably would have been better for an introduction.
Mm-hmm.
But it eventually does very heavily focus on Yang, and maybe that would be enough. Because I think that the strength to me in the previous one was, like, getting to know all these characters and, like, who they were, you know? And, like, we just kind of went through, you know, we get some of that and not for others. So I think maybe that would have made it stronger for newer fans. But what the heck do I know? Do I know anything about younger fans?
They're like the Tokyo Ghoul,
yeah,
Kate.
So, you know, okay, so this is like 100% same as Tokyo Ghoul. That's my recommendation.
Yep, yep.
You know, I think
it's more like re-Tokyo Ghoul than Tokyo Ghoul. Am I right?
I think you're right, Al. So I feel like I don't know. And I feel like, you know, I really appreciated the focus on Yang because he's one of anime's greatest characters of all time, objectively. So, I can't really say that if you're gonna put all your chips in one, you know, one place, that is fine with me.
Thanks for listening to another episode. You can visit us online at reversethieves.com and follow us on Twitter @reversethieves, @narutakiRT, and @hisuiRT.